Ulysses, Disc 30.
Private Carr, Private Compton, and Sissy Caffrey pass beneath the windows, singing in discord. Stephen. Hark! Our friend noise in the street. Zoe. Holds up her hand. Stop! Private Carr, Private Compton, and Sissy Caffrey.
Yet I've a sort of a Yorkshire relish for...
Zoe.
That's me!
She claps her hands. Dance! Dance! She runs to the pianola.
Who has twopence?
Bloom.
Who'll...
Lynch, handing her coins.
Here.
Stephen, cracking his fingers impatiently.
Quick, quick! Where's my auger's rod?
He runs to the piano and takes his ashplant, beating his foot in tripudium. Zoe turns the drum handle.
There!
She drops two pennies in the slot. Gold, pink and violet lights start forth. The drum turns, purring in low hesitation waltz. Professor Goodwin, in a bow-knotted periwig, in court dress, wearing a stained Inverness cape, bent in two from incredible age, totters across the room, his hands fluttering. He sits tinily on the piano stool and lifts and beats handless sticks of arms on the keyboard, nodding with damsel's grace, his bow knot bobbing. Zoe twirls round herself, heel-tapping.
Dance! Anybody here for there? Who'll dance? Clear the table!
The pianola, with changing lights, plays in waltz time the prelude of My Girl's a Yorkshire Girl. Stephen throws his ashplant on the table and seizes Zoe round the waist. Florrie and Bella push the table towards the fireplace. Stephen, arming Zoe with exaggerated grace, begins to waltz around the room. Bloom stands aside. Her sleeve, falling from gracing arms, reveals a white flesh flower of vaccination. Between the curtains, Professor Magini inserts a leg on the toe point of which spins a silk hat. With a deft kick, he sends it spinning to his crown and jaunty-hatted skates in. He wears a slate frock coat with claret silk lapels, a gorget of cream tulle, a green low-cut waistcoat, stock collar with white kerchief, tight lavender trousers, patent pumps and canary gloves. In his buttonhole is an immense dahlia. He twirls in reverse directions a clouded cane, then wedges it tight in his oxter. He places a hand lightly on his breastbone, bows, and fondles his flower and buttons. Magini.
The poetry of motion, art of calisthenics, no connection with Madame Leggett Burns or Levenston's. Fancy dress balls arranged, deportment, the Catalina step. So, watch me. My terpsichorean abilities.
He minuets forward three paces on tripping bee's feet.
Tout le monde en avant. Révérence. Tout le monde en place.
The prelude ceases. Professor Goodwin, beating vague arms, shrivels, sinks, his live cape falling about the stool. The air in firmer waltz time sounds. Stephen and Zoe circle freely. The lights change, glow, fade gold, rosy, violet. The pianola.
Two young fellows were talking about their girls, girls, girls. Sweethearts they'd left behind.
From a corner, the morning hours run out. Gold-haired, slim-sandaled, in girlish blue, wasp-waisted, with innocent hands, nimbly they dance, twirling their skipping ropes. The hours of noon follow in amber gold, laughing, linked, high hair combs flashing. They catch the sun in mocking mirrors, lifting their arms. McGeeny. Clip-claps, glove-silent hands.
Carré! Avant deux! Breathe evenly! Balancez!
The morning and noon hours waltz in their places, turning, advancing to each other, shaping their curves, bowing vis-à-vis. Cavaliers behind them arch and suspend their arms, with hands descending to, touching, rising from their shoulders. Hours.
You may touch my...
Cavaliers.
May I touch your...
Hours.
Oh, but lightly...
Cavaliers,
oh, so lightly.
The pianola.
My little shy little lass has a waist.
Zoe and Stephen turn boldly with looser swing. The twilight hours advance from long land shadows, dispersed, lagging, languid-eyed. Their cheeks delicate with cypria and false faint bloom. They are in grey gauze, with dark bat sleeves that flutter in the land breeze. McGeeny.
Avant huit. Traversez. Salut. Cours de main. Croisez.
The night hours, one by one, steal to the last place. Morning, noon, and twilight hours retreat before them. They are masked, with daggered hair and bracelets of dull bells. Weary, they curtsy-curtsy under veils. The bracelets.
Hey-ho, hey-ho.
Zoe, twirling her hand to her brow.
Oh!
McGeeny.
Les tiroirs. Chaîne de dame. La corbeille, dos à dos.
Arabesquing, wearily, they weave a pattern on the floor, weaving, unweaving, curtsying, twirling, simply swirling. Zoe,
I'm giddy.
She frees herself, droops on a chair. Stephen seizes Florrie and turns with her. McGeeny.
Boulanger, les ronds, les ponts, chevaux de bois, escargot.
Twining, receding, with interchanging hands, the night hours link each with arching arms in a mosaic of movements. Stephen and Florrie turn cumbrously. McGeeny.
Dansez avec vos dames. Changez de dame. Donnez le petit bouquet à votre dame. Remerciez.
The pianola.
Best, best of all.
Baraboom.
Kitty jumps up.
Oh, they played that on the hobby horses at the Myra's Bazaar.
She runs to Stephen. He leaves Florrie brusquely and seizes Kitty. A screaming bittern's harsh high whistle shrieks. Grown grouse gurgling, tufts cumbersome whirligig turns slowly the room right round about the room. The pianola.
My girl's a Yorkshire girl.
Zoe.
Yorkshire through and through. Come on all.
She seizes Florrie and waltzes her. Stephen.
Parcel.
He wheels Kitty into Lynch's arms, snatches up his ash plant from the table and takes the floor. All wheel, whirl, waltz, twirl, Bloom Bella, Kitty Lynch, Florrie Zoe, Jujube women. Stephen, with hat, ash plant, frog splits in middle high kicks with sky kicking, mouth shut, hand clasp part under thigh. With clang, tinkle, boomhammer, tally-ho, hornblower, blue-green-yellow flashes, tofts, cumbersome turns, with hobby-horse riders from gilded snakes dangled, bowels, fandango, leaping, spurn, soil foot, and fall again. The pianola.
Though she's a factory lass, and wears no fancy clothes.
Close clutched, swift, swifter, with glare, blare, flare, scudding, they scoot, loot, shoot, lumbering by. Baraboom.
Tutti.
Encore. Bis. Bravo. Encore.
Simon.
Think of your mother's people.
Stephen.
Dance of death.
Bang, fresh barang, bang of lackey's bell. Horse, nag, steer, piglings. Con me on Christ ass. Lame crutch and leg sailor. In cockboat, arm folded, rope pulling, hitching, stamp, hornpipe through and through. Baraboom! On nags, hogs, bell horses, gadarene swine. Corny in coffin, steel shark stone, one-handled Nelson, two trickies, frown zimmer, plum-stained from pram, falling, bawling. Gum, he's a champion. Fuse, blue, pier from barrel rev, evensong, love, on hackney jaunt, blazes, blind, quadruple bicyclers, dilly with snow cake, no fancy clothes. Then, in last switchback, lumbering up and down, bump, mash, tub, sort of viceroy, and rain relish for tub lumber, bump shire rose, baraboom. The couples fall aside. Stephen whirls giddily. Room whirls back. Eyes closed, he totters. Red rails fly spacewards. Stars all round, suns turn roundabout. Bright midges dance on walls. He stops dead. Stephen.
Ho!
Stephen's mother, emaciated, rises stark through the floor, in leper grey with a wreath of faded orange blossoms and a torn bridal veil, her face worn and noseless, green with grave mould. Her hair is scant and lank. She fixes her blue-circled hollow eye-sockets on Stephen and opens her toothless mouth, uttering a silent word. A choir of virgins and confessors sing voicelessly. The choir.
Liliata, rutilantium te confessorum. Jubilantium te virginum.
From the top of a tower, Buck Mulligan, in particoloured jester's dress of puce and yellow and clown's cap with curling bell, stands gaping at her, a smoking buttered split scone in his hand. Buck Mulligan.
She's beastly dead. The pity of it. Mulligan meets the afflicted mother.
He upturns his eyes.
Mercurial Malachy.
The mother, with the subtle smile of death's madness.
I was once the beautiful May Goulding. I am dead.
Stephen, horror-struck.
Lemur.
Who are you? No. What bogeyman's trick is this?
Buck Mulligan shakes his curling cap-bell.
The mockery of it! Kinch, dog's body killed her bitch body. She kicked the bucket.
Tears of molten butter fall from his eyes onto the scone.
Our great, sweet mother. Epi oinopa ponton.
The mother comes nearer, breathing upon him softly, her breath of wetted ashes. All must go through it, Stephen. More women than men in the world. You too. Time will come.
Stephen, choking with fright, remorse and horror.
They say I killed you, Mother. He offended your memory. Cancer did it, not I. Destiny.
The Mother, a green rill of bile trickling from a side of her mouth.
You sang that song to me. Love's bitter mystery.
Stephen, eagerly.
Tell me the word, Mother, if you know now. The word known to all men.
The Mother.
Who saved you the night you jumped into the train at Dorky with Paddy Lee? Who had pity for you when you were sad among the strangers? Prayer is all-powerful. Prayer for the suffering souls in the Ursuline Manual and 40 days indulgence. Repent, Stephen.
Stephen.
The ghoul. Hyena.
The Mother.
I pray for you in my other world. Get Dilly to make you that boiled rice every night after your brain work. Years and years I loved you, oh, my son, my firstborn, when you lay in my womb.
Zoe, fanning herself with the great fan.
I'm melting.
Florrie points to Stephen.
Look, he's white.
Bloom goes to the window to open it more.
Giddy.
The Mother, with smouldering eyes.
Repent? Oh, the fire of hell!
Stephen, panting.
His non-corrosive sublimate, the corpse-chewer, raw head and bloody bones.
The Mother, her face drawing near and nearer, sending out an ashen breath.
Beware!
She raises her blackened, withered right arm slowly towards Stephen's breast with outstretched finger.
Beware God's hand!
A green crab with malignant red eyes sticks deep its grinning claws in Stephen's heart. Stephen, strangled with rage, his features drawn grey and old.
Shite!
Bloom, at the window.
What?
Stephen.
Ah, non. Par exemple. The intellectual imagination. With me all or not at all. Non serviam.
Florrie.
Give him some cold water.
Wait.
She rushes out. The Mother wrings her hands slowly, moaning desperately.
O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on him. Save him from hell. O Divine Sacred Heart.
Stephen.
No, no, no. Break my spirit, all of you, if you can. I'll bring you all to heel.
The Mother. In the agony of her death rattle.
Have mercy on Stephen, Lord, for my sake. Inexpressible was my anguish when expiring with love, grief, and agony on Mount Calvary.
Stephen.
Nothing.
He lifts his ash plant high with both hands and smashes the chandelier. Time's livid final flame leaps, and in the following darkness, ruin of all space, shattered glass and toppling masonry. The gas jet.
Funk.
Bloom.
Stop!
Lynch rushes forward and seizes Stephen's hand.
Here, hold on. Don't run amok.
Bella.
Police!
Stephen, abandoning his ash plant, his head and arms thrown back stark, beats the ground and flies from the room, past the whores at the door. Bella screams,
After him!
The two whores rush to the hall door. Lynch and Kitty and Zoe stampede from the room. They talk excitedly. Bloom follows. Returns. The whores, jammed in the doorway, pointing.
Down there!
Zoe, pointing.
There, there's something up.
Bella.
Who pays for the lamp?
She seizes Bloom's coattail.
Here, you were with him. The lamp's broken.
Bloom rushes to the hall, rushes back.
What lamp, woman?
A whore.
He tore his coat.
Bella, her eyes hard with anger and cupidity, points.
Who's to pay for that? 10 shillings? You're a witness.
Bloom snatches up Stephen's ash plant.
Me? 10 shillings?
Haven't you lifted enough off him? Didn't he?
Bella, loudly.
Hear none of your tall talk. This isn't a brothel. A 10-shilling house.
Bloom, his head under the lamp, pulls the chain. Puling, the gas jet lights up a crushed mauve purple shade. He raises the ash plant.
Only the chimney's broken.
Here is all he...
Bella shrinks back and screams.
Jesus, don't!
Bloom, warding off a blow.
To show you how he hit the paper, there's not 6 pence worth of damage done. 10 shillings!
Florrie, with a glass of water, enters.
Where is he?
Bella.
Do you want me to call the police?
Bloom.
Oh, I know. Bulldog on the premises. But he's a Trinity student. Patrons of your establishment. Gentlemen that pay the rent.
He makes a Masonic sign.
Know what I mean? Nephew of the Vice-Chancellor. You don't want a scandal.
Bella, angrily.
Trinity! Coming down here, ragging after the boat races and paying nothing. Are you my commander here, or... Where is he? I'll charge him, disgrace him, I will.
She shouts,
Zoe! Zoe!
Bloom, urgently.
And if it were your own son, in Oxford?
Warningly,
I know.
Bella, almost speechless.
Who are... incog?
Zoe, in the doorway. There's a row on. Bloom.
What? Where?
He throws a shilling on the table and starts.
That's for the chimney.
Where?
I need mountain air.
He hurries out through the hall. The whores point. Florrie follows, spilling water from her tilted tumbler. On the doorstep, all the whores clustered talk volubly, pointing to the right where the fog has cleared off. From the left arrives a jingling hackney car. It slows, too, in front of the house. Bloom, at the hall door, perceives Corny Kelleher, who is about to dismount from the car with 2 silent lechers. He averts his face. Bella, from within the hall, urges on her whores. They blow icky-licky-sticky-yum-yum kisses. Corny Kelleher replies with a ghastly, lewd smile. The silent lechers turn to pay the jarvie. Zoe and Kitty still point right. Bloom, parting them swiftly, draws his caliph's hood and poncho and hurries down the steps with sideways face. Incog, Harun al-Rashid, he flits behind the silent lechers and hastens on by the railings with fleet step of a pard, strewing the drag behind him, torn envelopes drenched in aniseed. The ash plant marks his stride. A pack of bloodhounds, led by Hornblower of Trinity, brandishing a dog whip in tally-ho cap and an old pair of grey trousers, follow from far, picking up the scent, nearer, baying, panting, at fault, breaking away, throwing their tongues, biting his heels, leaping at his tail. He walks, runs, zigzags, gallops, lugs laid back. He is pelted with gravel, cabbage stumps, biscuit boxes, eggs, potatoes, dead codfish, woman's slipper slappers. After him, fresh found, the hue and cry zigzag gallops in hot pursuit of follow my leader. 65C, 66C, night watch, John Henry Menton, Wisdom Healy, V.B. Dillon, Counselor Nanetti, Alexander Keyes, Larry O'Rourke, Joe Cuff, Mrs. O'Dowd, Pissa Burke, the Nameless One, Mrs. Reardon, the Citizen, Gary Owen. Who do you call him? Strange face, fellow that so like, saw him before. Chap with a wen, Chris Callanan, Sir Charles Cameron, Benjamin Dollard, Lenehan, Bartell Darcy, Joe Hines, Red Murray, Editor Braden, T.M. Healy, Mr. Justice Fitzgibbon, John Howard Parnell, the Reverend Tinned Salmon, Professor Jolly, Mrs. Breen, Dennis Breen, Theodore Purefoy, Minna Purefoy, the Westland Row Postmistress, C.P. McCoy, friend of Lyons, Hoppy Holohan, man in the street, other man in the street, football boots, pug-nosed driver, rich Protestant lady, Davy Byrne, Mrs. Ellen McGuinness, Mrs. Joe Gallagher, George Lidwell, Jimmy Henry on corns, Superintendent Larracy, Father Cowley, Crofton out of the Collector Generals, Dan Dawson, Dental Surgeon Bloom with tweezers, Mrs. Bob Doran, Mrs. Kennethick, Mrs. Wise Nolan, John Wise Nolan, handsome married woman rubbed against wide behind in Klonsky tram, the bookseller of Sweets of Sin, Miss Do Be Dat and She Did Be Dad, Mesdames Gerald and Stanislaus Moran of Roebuck, the managing clerk of Drimmies, Weatherup, Colonel Hayes, Mastiansky, Citron, Penrose, Aaron Figatner, Moses Herzog, Michael E. Geraghty, Inspector Troy, Mrs. Galbraith, the constable off Eccles Street corner, old Dr. Brady with stethoscope, the mystery man on the beach, a retriever, Mrs. Miriam Dandrade and all her lovers. The hue and cry. Helter, skelter, pelter, welter. He's Bloom! Stop, Bloom! Stop a Bloom! Stop a robber! Hi! Hi! Stop him on the corner! At the corner of Beaver Street, beneath the scaffolding, Bloom, panting, stops on the fringe of the noisy, quarrelling knot. A lot, not knowing a jot, what hi-hi, row and wrangle round the who-what, brawler together. Stephen, with elaborate gestures, breathing deeply and slowly. You are my guests, uninvited, by virtue of the 5th of George and 7th of Edward, history to blame, fabled by mothers of memory. Private Carr, to Sissy Caffrey. Was he insulting you? Stephen, addressed her in vocative feminine, probably neuter, ungenitive. Voices. No, he didn't. I seen him. The girl there. He was in Mrs. Cohen's. What's up? Soldier and civilian. Sissy Caffrey.
I was in company with the soldiers, and they left me to do, you know, and the young man run up behind me. But I'm faithful to the man that's treating me, though I'm only a shilling whore.
Voices. She's faithful, the man. Stephen catches sight of Lynch's and Kitty's heads. Hail, Sisyphus! He points to himself and the others. Poetic. Euro-poetic. Sissy Caffrey. Yes, to go with him. And me with a soldier friend. Private Compton.
He doesn't half want a thick ear, the blighter. Biff him one, Harry.
Private Carr. To Sissy.
Was he insulting you while me and him was having a piss?
Lord Tennyson. Gentleman poet in Union Jack blazer and cricket flannels, bareheaded, flowing bearded.
There's not to reason why.
Private Compton.
Biff him, Harry.
Stephen. To Private Compton.
I don't know your name, but you are quite right. Dr. Swift says one man in armour will beat 10 men in their shirts.
Shirt is synecdoche. Part for the whole.
Sissy Caffrey. To the crowd.
No, I was with the privates.
Stephen. Amiably.
Why not? The bold soldier boy. In my opinion, every lady, for example...
Private Carr, his cap awry, advances to Stephen.
Say, how would it be, Governor, if I was to bash in your jaw?
Stephen looks up to the sky.
How? Very unpleasant. Noble art of self-pretence. Personally, I detest action.
He waves his hand.
Hand hurts me slightly.
En fait, ce sont vos oignons.
To Sissy Caffrey.
Some trouble is on here. What is it precisely?
Dolly Gray. From her balcony waves her handkerchief, giving the sign of the heroine of Jericho.
Rahab, cook's son, goodbye. Safe home to Dolly. Dream of the girl you left behind, and she will dream of you.
The soldiers turn their swimming eyes. Bloom, elbowing through the crowd, plucks Stephen's sleeve vigorously.
Come now, Professor. That car man is waiting.
Stephen turns.
Eh?
He disengages himself.
Why should I not speak to him or to any human being who walks upright upon this oblate orange?
He points his finger.
I'm not afraid of what I can talk to if I see his eye. Retaining the perpendicular.
He staggers a pace back. Bloom, propping him.
Retain your own.
Stephen laughs emptily.
My centre of gravity is displaced. I have forgotten the trick. Let us sit down somewhere and discuss. Struggle for life is the law of existence, but human philirenists, notably the Tsar and the King of England, have invented arbitration.
He taps his brow.
But in here it is I must kill the priest and the king.
Biddy the Clap.
Did you hear what the professor said? He's a professor out of the college.
Cunty Kate.
I did. I heard that.
Biddy the Clap.
He expresses himself with such marked refinement of phraseology.
Cunty Kate.
Indeed, yes, and at the same time with such apposite trenchancy.
Private Carr pulls himself free and comes forward.
What's that you're saying
about my king.
Edward the Seventh appears in an archway. He wears a white jersey on which an image of the Sacred Heart is stitched with the insignia of garter and thistle, golden fleece, elephant of Denmark, Skinner's and Proben's horse, Lincoln's Inn Bencher and Ancient and Honourable Artillery Company of Massachusetts. He sucks a red jujube. He is robed as a grand, elect, perfect and sublime mason with trowel and apron, marked made in Germany. In his left hand he holds a plasterer's bucket, on which is printed Défense Durinée. A roar of welcome greets him. Edward the Seventh, slowly, solemnly, but indistinctly.
Peace! Perfect peace. For identification, bucket in my hand. Cheerio, boys.
He turns to his subjects.
We have come here to witness a clean, straight fight, and we heartily wish both men the best of good luck. Mahak Makar Abak.
He shakes hands with Private Carr, Private Compton, Stephen, Bloom, and Lynch. General applause. Edward the Seventh lifts his bucket graciously in acknowledgement. Private Carr to Stephen.
Say it again.
Stephen, nervous, friendly, pulls himself up.
I understand your point of view, though I have no king myself for the moment. This is the age of patent medicines. A discussion is difficult down here. But this is the point. You die for your country. Suppose.
He places his arm on Private Carr's sleeve.
Not that I wish it for you, but I say, let my country die for me. Up to the present, it has done so. I didn't want it to die. Damn death. Long live life.
Edward the Seventh levitates over heaps of slain, in the garb and with the halo of joking Jesus, a white jujube in his phosphorescent face.
My methods are new and are causing surprise. To make the blind see, I throw dust in their eyes.
Stephen.
Kings and unicorns.
He falls back a pace.
Come somewhere and we'll... What was that girl saying?
Private Compton.
Hey, Harry, give him a kick in the knackers. Stick one into Jerry.
Bloom. To the privates, softly. He doesn't know what he's saying. Taken a little more than is good for him. Absinthe, green-eyed monster. I know him. He's a gentleman, a poet. It's all right.
Stephen nods, smiling and laughing. Gentleman, patriot, scholar, and judge of impostors.
Private Carr.
I don't give a bugger who he is.
Private Compton.
We don't give a bugger who he is.
Stephen.
I seem to annoy them. Green rag to a bull.
Kevin Egan of Paris, in black Spanish tassel shirt and Peeper Day boy's hat, signs to Stephen. Kevin Egan.
Hello, bonjour. The vieille ogresse with a don jaune.
Patrice Egan peeps from behind, his rabbit face nibbling a quince leaf. Patrice.
Socialiste.
Don Emile, Patrizio, Franz, Rupert, Pope Hennessy. In medieval hauberk, two wild geese volant on his helm, with noble indignation points a mailed hand against the privates.
Worth those ikes 2 foot boden, big grand porcos of Johnny Yellow's todos covered of gravy.
Bloom to Stephen. Come home. You'll get into trouble. Stephen, swaying.
I don't avoid it. He provokes my intelligence.
Biddy the Clap.
One immediately observes that he is of patrician lineage.
The Virago.
Green above the red, says he.
Wolf Tone.
The Bawd.
The red's as good as the green, and better. Up the soldiers, up King Edward.
A Ruff. Laughs.
Oi, hands up to the vet.
The Citizen, with a huge emerald muffler and shillelagh, calls,
May the God above send down a dove with teeth as sharp as razors to slit the throats of the English dogs that hanged our Irish leaders.
The Croppy Boy, the rope noose round his neck, gripes in his issuing bowels with both hands.
I bear no hate to a living thing, but I love my country beyond the king.
Rumbold, Demon Barber, accompanied by 2 black masked assistants, advances with Gladstone bag, which he opens.
Ladies and gents, cleaver purchased by Mrs. Piercy to slay Mog. Knife with which Vaucin dismembered the wife of a compatriot and hid remains in a sheet in the cellar, the unfortunate female's throat being cut from ear to ear. File containing arsenic retrieved from body of Miss Baron, which sent Seddon to the gallows.
He jerks the rope. The assistants leap at the victim's legs and drag him downward, grunting. The Croppy Boy's tongue protrudes violently. The Croppy Boy.
Har heart, hooray, har hother's hest.
He gives up the ghost. A violent erection of the hanged sends gouts of sperm spouting through his death clothes onto the cobblestones. Mrs. Bellingham, Mrs. Yelverton Barry, and the Honourable Mrs. Mervyn Tallboys rush forward with their handkerchiefs to sop it up. Rumbold.
I'm near it myself.
He undoes the noose.
Rope which hanged the awful rebel. 10 shillings a time, as applied to Her Royal Highness.
He plunges his head into the gaping belly of the hanged and draws out his head again, clotted with coiled and smoking entrails.
My painful duty has now been done. God save the King.
Edward VII dances slowly, solemnly, rattling his bucket, and sings with soft contentment.
On Coronation Day, won't we have a merry time, drinking whiskey, beer and wine?
Private Carr.
Here, what are you saying about my king?
Stephen throws up his hands.
Oh, this is too monotonous. Nothing. He wants my money and my life. The want must be his master, for some brutish empire of his. Money I haven't.
He searches his pockets vaguely.
Gave it to someone.
Private Carr.
Who wants your bleeding money?
Stephen tries to move off.
Will someone tell me where I am least likely to meet these necessary evils?
Ça se voit aussi à Paris. Not that I... but by St. Patrick.
The women's heads coalesce. Old gummy granny in sugarloaf hat appears seated on a toadstool, the death flower of the potato blight on her breast. Stephen.
Aha, I know you. Gammer. Hamlet. Revenge. The old sow that eats her farrow.
Old gummy granny, rocking to and fro.
Ireland's sweetheart, the king of Spain's daughter, Alanna. Strangers in my house, bad manners to them.
She keens with banshee woe.
Ochone, ochone, silk of the kine,
she wails.
You met with poor old Ireland, and how does she stand?
Stephen.
How do I stand you?
The hat trick. Where's the third person of the Blessed Trinity?
Sogath Aroon, the Reverend Carrion Crow?
Sissy Caffrey, shrill.
Stop them from fighting.
A rough.
Our men retreated.
Private Carr, tugging at his belt.
I'll wring the neck of any fucker says a word against my fucking king.
Bloom, terrified.
He said nothing, not a word, a pure misunderstanding.
Private Compton.
Go it, Harry. Do him one in the eye. He's a pro boar.
Stephen.
Did I? When?
Bloom, to the redcoats.
We fought for you in South Africa. Irish missile troops. Isn't that history? Royal Dublin Fusiliers. Honoured by our monarch.
The Navy, staggering past.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. Oh, make the quarrel crower. Oh, boo.
Casked halberdiers in armour thrust forward a pentice of gutted spear points. Major Tweedy, moustached like Turco the Terrible, in bearskin cap, with hackle plume and accoutrements, with epaulettes, gilt chevrons and sabre-tashes, his breast bright with medals, toes the line. He gives the pilgrim warrior sign of the Knights Templars.
Major Tweedy growls gruffly.
Rorke's Drift! Up guards and at him! Maha Shalal Hashbaz!
The Citizen.
Aaron Gobra!
Major Tweedy and the Citizen exhibit to each other medals, decorations, trophies of war, wounds. Both salute with fierce hostility. Private Carr.
I'll do him in.
Private Compton moves the crowd back.
Fair play here. Make a bleeding butcher's shop of the bugger.
Mast bands blare Gary Owen and God Save the King. Sissy Caffrey.
They're going to fight for me.
Conti Kate.
The brave and the fair.
Biddy the Clap.
Methinks yon sable knight will joust it with the best.
Conti Kate, blushing deeply.
Nay, madam, the gules doublet and merry St. George for me.
Stephen.
The harlot's cry from street to street shall weave old Ireland's winding sheet.
Private Carr, loosening his belt, shouts,
I'll wring the neck of any fucking bastard says a word against my bleeding fucking king.
Bloom shakes Sissy Caffrey's shoulders.
Speak you? Are you struck dumb? You are the link between nations and generations.
Speak, woman, sacred life-giver.
Sissy Caffrey, alarmed, seizes private car's sleeve.
Amn't I with you? Amn't I your girl? Sissy's your girl.
She cries,
Police!
Stephen, ecstatically, to Sissy Caffrey.
White thy fambles, red thy gan, and thy quarrons dainty is.
Voices.
Police!
Distant voices.
Dublin's burning, on fire, on fire.
Brimstone fires spring up, dense clouds roll past. Heavy Gatling guns boom, pandemonium. Troops deploy, gallop of hoofs, artillery, horse commands, bells clang, backers shout, drunkards bawl, whores screech, foghorns hoot. Cries of valour, shrieks of dying, pikes clash on cuirasses. Thieves rob the slain, birds of prey, winging from the sea, rising from marshlands, swooping from aeries, hover screaming, gannets, cormorants, vultures, goshawks, climbing woodcocks, peregrines, merlins, black grouse, sea eagles, gulls, albatrosses, barnacle geese. The midnight sun is darkened, the earth trembles. The dead of Dublin, from Prospect and Mount Jerome, in white sheepskin overcoats and black goat fell cloaks, arise and appear to many. A chasm opens with a noiseless yawn. Tom Rochford, winner, in athlete's singlet and breeches, arrives at the head of the national hurdle handicap and leaps into the void. He is followed by a race of runners and leapers. In wild attitudes, they spring from the brink. Their bodies plunge. Factory lasses with fancy clothes toss red-hot Yorkshire barrow bombs. Society ladies lift their skirts above their heads to protect themselves. Laughing witches in red cutty sarks ride through the air on broomsticks. Quaker Lister plasters blisters. It rains dragon's teeth. Armed heroes spring up from furrows. They exchange in amity the pass of Knights of the Red Cross and fight duels with cavalry sabres. Wolfe Tone against Henry Grattan. Smith O'Brien against Daniel O'Connell. Michael Davitt against Ike Butt. Justin McCarthy against Parnell. Arthur Griffith against John Redmond. John O'Leary against Lear O'Johnny. Lord Edward Fitzgerald against Lord Gerald Fitz-Edward. The O'Donoghue of the Glens against the Glens of the O'Donoghue. On an eminence, the centre of the earth, rises the field altar of St. Barbara. Black candles rise from its gospel and whistle horns. From the high barbacans of the tower, two shafts of light fall all on the smoke-palled altar stone. On the altar stone, Mrs. Minna Purefoy, goddess unreason, lies naked, fettered, a chalice resting on her swollen belly. Father Mickey Flynn, in his petticoat and reverse chasuble, his two feet back to the front, celebrate great pamp mass. The Reverend Mr. Hugh C. Hazlove, M.A., in a placassock and moored, his head and curb back the front, hold over the celebrant's head an open umbrella. Father Malachy O'Flynn.
Introibo adultare diaboli.
The Reverend Mr. Haynes Love.
To the devil which hath made glad my young days.
Father Malachy O'Flynn takes from the chalice and elevates a blood-dripping host.
Corpus meum.
The Reverend Mr. Haynes Love raises high behind the celebrant's petticoat,
revealing his grey, bare, hairy buttocks, between which a carrot is stuck.
"My body." The voice of all the damned. From on high, the voice of Adonai calls. Adonai.
Dog.
The voice of all the blessed.
Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
From on high, the voice of Adonai calls. Adonai.
God.
In strident discord, peasants and townsmen of orange and green factions sing Kick the Pope and Daily, Daily Sing to Mary. Private Carr, with ferocious articulation.
I'll do him in, so help me fucking Christ. I'll wring the bastard fucker's bleeding, blasted fucking windpipe.
The retriever, nosing on the fringe of the crowd, barks noisily. Bloom runs to Lynch.
Can't you get him away?
Lynch.
He likes dialectic, the universal language. Kitty.
To Bloom.
Get him away, you. He won't listen to me.
He drags Kitty away. Stephen. Points.
Exit, Judas. Et laqueo se suspendit.
Bloom runs to Stephen.
Come along with me now, before worse happens. Here's your stick.
Stephen.
Stick. No. Reason. This feast of pure reason.
Old Gummy Granny thrusts a dagger towards Stephen's hand.
Remove him, Makushla. At 8:35 a.m. you will be in heaven, and Ireland will be free.
She prays.
Oh, good God, take him.
Sissy Caffrey, pulling Private Carr.
Come on, you're boozed. He insulted me, but I forgive him.
Shouting in his ear.
I forgive him for insulting me.
Bloom, over Stephen's shoulder.
Yes, go. You see, he's incapable.
Private Carr breaks loose.
I'll insult him.
He rushes towards Stephen, fist outstretched, and strikes him in the face. Stephen totters, collapses, falls, stunned. He lies prone, his face to the sky, his hat rolling to the wall. Bloom follows and picks it up. Major Tweedy, loudly.
Carbine in bucket. Ceasefire. Salute.
The retriever, barking furiously.
Hoot, 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 hoot.
The crowd.
Let him up. Don't strike him when he's down. Air. Who? The soldier hit him. He's a professor. Is he hurted? Don't manhandle him. He's fainted.
A hag.
What call had the red coat to strike the gentleman, and he under the influence? Let them go and fight the Boers.
The bawd.
Listen to who's talking. Hasn't the soldier a right to go with his girl? He gave him the coward's blow.
They grab at each other's hair, claw at each other and spit. The retriever barking.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Bloom shoves them back loudly.
Get back. Stand back.
Private Compton tugging his comrade.
Air,
bugger off, Harry. Here's the cops.
Two rain-caped watch, tall, stand in the group. First watch.
What's wrong here?
Private Compton. We were with this lady, and he insulted us, and assaulted my chum. The retriever barks.
Who owns the bleeding tyke?
Sissy Caffrey, with expectation. Is he bleeding? A man, rising from his knees.
No, gone off. He'll come to all right.
Bloom glances sharply at the man. Leave him to me. I can easily... Second watch.
Who are you? Do you know him?
Private Carr lurches towards the watch.
He insulted my lady friend.
Bloom, angrily.
You hit him without provocation. I'm a witness. Constable, take his regimental number.
Second watch.
I don't want your instructions in the discharge of my duty.
Private Compton, pulling his comrade.
Here, bugger off, Harry, or Bennett'll shove you in the lock-up.
Private Carr, staggering as he is pulled away.
God fuck old Bennett. He's a white-arse bugger. I don't give a shit for him.
First watch, takes out his notebook.
What's his name?
Bloom, peering over the crowd.
I just see a car there. If you give me a hand a second, Sergeant.
First watch.
Name and address.
Corny Kelleher, weepers round his hat, a death wreath in his hand, appears among the bystanders. Bloom, quickly.
Oh, the very man, he whispers. Simon Dedalus's son. A bit sprung. Get those policemen to move those loafers back.
Second watch.
Night, Mr. Kelleher.
Corny Kelleher, to the watch with drawling eye.
That's all right. I know him. Won a bit on the races. Gold Cup. Throw away.
He laughs.
20-1. Do you follow me?
First watch turns to the crowd.
Here, what are you all gaping at? Move on out of that.
The crowd disperses slowly, muttering, down the lane. Corny Kelleher.
Leave it to me, Sergeant. That'll be all right.
He laughs, shaking his head.
We were often as bad ourselves, aye, or worse. What? Eh, what?
First watch. Laughs.
I suppose so.
Corny Kelleher nudges the second watch.
Come and wipe your name off the slate.
He lilts, wagging his head.
With my tooraloom, 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 tooraloom. What? Eh, do you follow me?
Second watch, genially.
Ah, sure we were too.
Corny Kelleher, winking.
Boys will be boys. I've a car round there.
Second watch.
All right, Mr. Kelleher. Good night.
Corny Kelleher.
I'll see to that.
Bloom shakes hands with both of the watch in turn.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you.
He mumbles confidentially.
We don't want any scandal, you understand. Father is a well-known, highly respected citizen. Just a little wild oats, you understand.
First watch.
Oh, I understand, sir.
Second watch.
That's all right, sir.
First watch.
It was only in case of corporal injuries I'd have to report it at the station.
Bloom nods rapidly.
Naturally, quite right. Only your bounded duty.
Second watch.
It's our duty.
Corny Kelleher.
Good night, men.
The watch, saluting together.
Night, gentlemen.
They move off with slow, heavy tread. Bloom. Blows.
Providential you came on the scene. You have a car?
Corny Kelleher laughs, pointing his thumb over his right shoulder to the car brought up against the scaffolding.
Two commercials that were standing fizz in jammies, like Prince Eight. One had lost two on the race, drinking his and were on a go with the jolly earl. So landed them up on Bean's car and downtown to Nighttown.
Bloom.
He was just going by Ardna Street when I happened to...
Cornelher laughs.
They wanted me to join in with the Motts.
No, by God, says I. Not for old stagers like myself and yourself.
He laughs again and leers with lackluster eye.
Thanks be to God we have it in the house. What? Hey, do you follow me? Ha, ha, ha.
Bloom tries to laugh.
He, yes. Matter of fact, I was just visiting an old friend of mine there. Virag. You don't know him? Poor fellow, he's laid up for the past week. And we had a liquor together, and I was just making my way home.
The horse neighs. The horse.
Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho.
Corny Kelleher.
Sure it was Bean our Jarvie there that told me after we left the two commercials in Mrs. Cohen's, and I told him to pull up and got off to sea.
He laughs.
Sober hearse driver's a speciality. Will I give him a lift home? Where does he hang out? Somewhere in Cabra, what?
Bloom.
No, in Sandy Cove, I believe. From what he let drop.
Stephen, prone, breathes to the stars. Corny Kelleher, a squint, drawls at the horse. Bloom, in gloom, looms down. Corny Kelleher scratches his nape.
Sandy Cove!
He bends down and calls to Stephen.
Hey?
He calls again.
Hey?
He's covered with shavings, anyhow.
Take care they didn't lift anything off him.
Bloom.
No, no, no. I have his money and his hat here, and stick.
Corny Kelleher.
Ah, well, he'll get over it. No bones broken. Well, I'll shove along.
He laughs.
I've a rendezvous in the morning. Burying the dead. Safe home.
The horse. Neighs.
Ho, 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 home.
Bloom.
Good night. I'll just wait and take him along in a few.
Corny Kelleher returns to the outside car and mounts it. The horse harness jingles. Corny Kelleher, from the car, standing.
Night.
Bloom.
Night.
The Jarvie chucks the reins and raises his whip encouragingly. The car and horse back slowly, woodly, and turn. Corny Kelleher, on the side seat, sways his head to and fro in sign of mirth at Bloom's plight. The Jarvie joins in the mute pantomimic merriment, nodding from the farther seat. Bloom shakes his head in mute, mirthful reply. With thumb and palm, Corny Kelleher reassures that the two bobbies will allow the sleep to continue, for what else is to be done? With a slow nod, Bloom conveys his gratitude, as that is exactly what Stephen needs. The car jingles Tooraloom round the corner of the Tooraloom Lane. Corny Kelleher, again, reassure-looms with his hand. Bloom, with his hand, assure-looms Corny Kelleher that he is reassure-loom-te. The tinkling hoofs and jingling harness grow fainter with their tooraloo-loo-loo-loo-lay. Bloom, holding in his hand Stephen's hat, festooned with shavings and ashplant, stands irresolute. Then he bends to him and shakes him by the shoulder. Bloom.
Hey, ho.
There is no answer. He bends again.
Mr. Dedalus.
There is no answer.
The name, if you call. Somnambulist.
He bends again and, hesitating, brings his mouth near the face of the prostrate form.
Stephen.
There is no answer. He calls again.
Stephen.
Stephen frowns.
Who? Black Panther. Vampire.
He sighs and stretches himself, then murmurs thickly with prolonged vowels.
Who drive Fergus now? And Pierce Wood's woven shade?
He turns on his left side, sighing, doubling himself together. Bloom.
Poetry. Well educated. Pity.
He bends again and undoes the buttons of Stephen's waistcoat.
To breathe.
He brushes the wood shavings from Stephen's clothes with light hand and fingers.
£1.07. Not hurt anyhow.
He listens.
What?
Stephen murmurs.
Shadows, the woods, white breast, dim sea.
He stretches out his arms, sighs again, and curls his body. Bloom, holding the hat and ash plant, stands erect. A dog barks in the distance. Bloom tightens and loosens his grip on the ash plant. He looks down on Stephen's face and form. Bloom communes with the night.
Face reminds me of his poor mother. In the shady wood, the deep white breast. Ferguson, I think I caught. A girl, some girl. Best thing could happen him.
He murmurs.
Swear that I will always hail, ever conceal, never reveal, any part or parts, art or arts.
He murmurs.
In the rough sands of the sea, a cable tow's length from the shore, where the tide ebbs and flows.
Silent, thoughtful, alert, he stands on guard, his fingers at his lips in the attitude of secret master. Against the dark wall, a figure appears slowly. A fairy boy of 11, a changeling, kidnapped, dressed in an Eton suit with glass shoes and a little bronze helmet, holding a book in his hand. He reads from right to left, inaudibly, smiling, kissing the page.
Bloom, wonderstruck, calls inaudibly. Rudy?
Rudy gazes unseen into Bloom's eyes and goes on reading, kissing, smiling. He has a delicate mauve face. On his suit he has diamond and ruby buttons. In his free left hand he holds a slim ivory cane with a violet bow knot. A white lambkin peeps out of his waistcoat pocket.
This ends Disc 30.